Well, hey everyone, my name is Matt, and I'm excited to let you know we are beginning a new series today, just a short one, this week and next, 2 weeks called Psalms, Hymns, and Spiritual Songs, and I'm so excited about this. I actually had trouble falling asleep last night, and what I'm mostly looking forward to is we have 14 new friends here with us from Taylor, actually a couple of them. Yeah, let's give them a hand. And you got some. Yeah. Emily and Claire, you guys can raise your hands, are part of Conway, and he brought some other folks with you. This is a group from Taylor called Taylor Sounds, and they're going to share some with us this morning. I want to start by reading from Psalm 95, and then they'll kind of get us going here with a song. Psalm 95, verse 1. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song.
I want to thank you, Lord, for all you've done. I want to thank you, Lord, for the times of trouble. Thank you, Lord, for protecting me. Thank you, Jesus, Lord, for what you've done for me. I want to thank you, Lord, for all you've done. I want to thank you, Lord, for the times of trouble. Thank you, Lord, for protecting me. Thank you, Jesus, Lord, for what you've done for me.
You were my friend when I had no friends.
Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me.
I know on you I can depend.
Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me.
You've been my father and father too.
Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me.
You've been my sister and brother too.
Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for all you've done. Thank you, Lord, for the times of trouble. Thank you, Lord, for protecting me. Thank you, Jesus, Lord, for what you've done for me. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done. Thank you, Lord, for the times of trouble. Thank you, Lord, for protecting me.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for what
Thank you so much for being with us. We'll obviously have them come back up in a bit and share some more. That really is a perfect introduction for where we're going this morning. Obviously, we are doing everything differently today. And I'll just sit here, if that's okay, with everyone. I've had this idea for about a year or so. What if we were to explore music and singing from lots of different angles? Like, for example, we could look at some of the ways music shows up in Scripture and how that's supposed to inform or shape our relationship with God and with each other. That'd be fun. We could also look at some of the ways music has been used in the church throughout the centuries, like church music through the ages. Yeah? Anybody else? Okay. No, I'll move on. We could maybe even ask some bigger questions, like why is music this universal human language? Why does it speak to us and move us and stir our hearts the way that it does? So we're going to cover all of that in 2 weeks. So today and next week. So I started working on this, and the more I got into it, the bigger this got. So we're just going to do the best we can with what we have. But one thing is for sure. We can't just talk about this. Like when it comes to a subject like music and singing, we've got to find some way to experience this. Does that make sense? Like either listening or singing, or we could do church music trivia. How well do you know your hymns? We won't do that. But we got to find a way to experience this together. So we're going to try some things, and some things may work better than others. I assure you, if anybody's embarrassed, because I need your help, but I'll only embarrass myself. How about that? And then, again, for Easter in 2 weeks, I just want you to know what to expect. When we get to that point, we're going to have our normal Sunday worship time. And by normal, I mean like all-out Easter celebration. Okay, I just want you to know that I'm promising you that Matt will be on his best behavior and that he's not going to do anything crazy and weird so that you can invite your friends and your family and it's going to be safe for everyone, okay? I think that's important. Well, beginning with Scripture, first of all, many of you know this, right in the middle of your Bible, there is a book called Psalms. Yeah, the word psalm, it means song. The book of Psalms contains 150 different songs. So basically, you have one for each day of 150 days. Is where I'm going with that. You're welcome. If you flip through the Psalms in your Bible, you notice at the top of a lot of them, it says, for the director of music. And then it says, to the tune of such and such. So the Psalms, they're like the songbook for the ancient Israelites. It's what they would use when they came together to worship God. The Psalms were the songs that Jesus knew. You know how you were raised? If you were raised in church, you grew up hearing certain songs. That's the Psalms for Jesus. In fact, we know he knows them because he quotes them, and even in, you know, defining moments of his life, like on the cross, he quotes lyrics from the Psalms. They were a part of Christian worship, early Christian worship. There are 68 references to singing, so 68 songs about songs in the Psalms. There are 15 different instruments that are mentioned specifically in the Psalms. You have the harp, the lyre, cymbals, trumpet, flute, the electric guitar. Just checking. Psalm 100, verse 1 says, and there are dozens of psalms like this. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Now, as if that weren't enough sort of basis for us to incorporate singing as part of our worship, our regular gathering together, you get to the New Testament. And there are some key passages. Ephesians 5 says, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. And there are other translations that say spiritual songs, hence the title. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. I like that. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's a pretty clear mandate from the New Testament for corporate worship through music, singing. God calls us to speak to one another in song. Now, think about that. That doesn't mean that we like show up and we greet each other in music, singing. That would be a musical, right? Which could be interesting. I have some people in my life I would love to see spontaneously break out into song, but that's not this. Obviously, Paul, the author, he wants music and singing to be an important part of our life as a church together. He writes very similarly to the church at Colossae. He says in Colossians 3, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly. How? As you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Now, we know what psalms are, because we just talked about that. Unfortunately, we don't know the original tunes, the music. That didn't get written down until like the Middle Ages when monks invented do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, you know, because they wanted to pass on music. So that's been lost. But over the centuries, other people have put the Psalms to music. There are lots of versions in Latin and all kinds of things. Hymns, these are basically, when the New Testament uses this word, it's songs about God, written to God, or maybe written to capture what God has done in Jesus and therefore how we're to relate together. We actually have a few hymns preserved in the New Testament. There's a famous one in Philippians chapter 2, that line that says, "In Christ, who was God but did not consider equality with God as something to be grasped." That's a hymn. Again, we don't have the tune. Here's a short one from Ephesians 5, probably a part of a larger hymn, but we just have this section. "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Now, when the New Testament says hymn, you don't think, right? These are probably monophonic, as in no harmony, probably a little more. Or I don't know how it goes. That's me getting more vibrato out of this. You can't do that out of a, anyway. And then songs from the Spirit, which, as it kind of sounds like, these are probably free-flowing, spontaneous, and so they didn't bother to write them down. So there you have it. And I guess I could say that's why when we come together, we spend part of our worship singing, because Scripture commands it, and the New Testament affirms it and practices it, and so that settles it. And that's true, and that's important, and I've actually given that sermon before. I think, though, there's more going on with music than just that. See, for me personally, music is one of my primary ways of relating to connecting with God. There's something about it. I think this explains that we should do that, but it doesn't say why. Where does that come from? And so I want to expand this as big as possible, and then we'll come back to this and hopefully see it a little bit differently. See, from the beginning of time, we're going big, okay? Big scale. It seems that people, regardless of culture or place or time, that we all collectively gravitate toward music. Like virtually every culture sings, has songs, creates and plays instruments. You go back thousands and thousands of years and you have primitive tribal people playing drums, like before a hunt. You have people singing during harvest time. Basically, you name it. They're telling stories through song, mourning, celebrating through singing. It's deep in us. There's something about it that we can't fully explain. There's like a power to music, isn't there? Like there's something like a transcendent quality about it. If you're a human being, that means that your heart at some point has been moved by a song or a melody. And it's changed. Music has evolved over thousands of years. We have new technologies that change how we experience music, how we hear it, how we share it, for sure. But the pull that music has on our lives hasn't changed. The ability for music to bring a group of people together, it hasn't diminished. It still has this, there's this haunting sense when we hear certain music that maybe there's more to life than what we can see. Now, in a room like this, we have different levels of experience with music, different backgrounds, different training levels or levels of talent. We don't all have the same musical tastes and preferences. Did you know that? For example, I could just pull the room on, say, I don't know, country music, right? And the response, don't respond, the response of either cheers or groans would make my point, right? We like different things. From time to time, someone will ask me, you know, that question, what kind of music do you listen to? And I know people say, oh, I listen to everything. But really, like, let me just give you an example of how, for me, how broad my musical taste is, okay? We're going broad. When my turn signal in my car, when that matches up with the windshield wiper rhythm, okay, some of you know what I'm talking about. The turn signal's on the 1 and 3, the wiper's on the counter, the 2 and the 4, and it only happens for a glorious, like, few seconds. where it's perfect. This little dance together before they go their separate ways. Okay, I'm just trying to show you how broad. That makes my entire day. When I'm somewhere and I happen to notice that my voice matches the natural frequency, I don't know the physics of this, but I feel it. When it matches the natural frequency of, say, a vacuum cleaner running in the background, or I'll be somewhere and I'll be talking just like I am right now, and I'll hear, like, in a certain part of my range, I'll hear a ooh, 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 because the room is shaped a certain way. Nobody else does this. And I go, I'll stop whatever I'm doing and go, guys, ooh. And it creates that oscillating wave because it's the same as the, and then I get told to stop is what happens. Yeah. So, Matt, what kind of music do you listen to? That's a hard one for me. Can you imagine how thrilling actual music must be for me? It's incredible. See, I believe music is a gift from God. That the God of infinite creativity and beauty created music as this thing that connects to our souls in a way that very, very few things can. As Martin Luther puts it, next to the Word of God, the noble art of music is the greatest treasure in the world. Amen. It controls our thoughts, minds, hearts, and spirits. A person who does not regard music as a marvelous creation of God does not deserve to be called a human being. Okay, he's being a little bit. He should be permitted to hear nothing but the braying of asses and the grunting of hogs. A little harsh. And for sure, our insults today aren't as good as they used to be. I learned that from that. But can you imagine a world without music? Without music, there would be no... What song's this? Piano Man. Without music, it would just be man. Right? And it would just be kind of a sad, terrible poem. Listen to this. It's 9 o'clock on a Saturday. The regular crowd shuffles in. There's an old man sitting next to me making... Oh, never mind. You get the idea. Without music, take the movie Rocky, that iconic montage, like training montage scene with like... Dun, 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 you know what I'm talking about? Without music... changes it quite a bit. Without music, this video game franchise wouldn't be nearly as fun. Ready? That's the hardest thing I have to do today, so I'm glad that's over with. And it says, easy. Okay. I could go on and on, obviously, all day long, but my point, music is a gift from God. On a little bit of a more serious note, you'll get it later. On a more serious note, I realize that not everyone here enjoys classical music. That's fine. You don't have to. I happen to like it. So if you could just indulge me for just a minute, I'm just going to play a minute of this, not the whole thing. So I'm going to stop just before everybody starts fake coughing, okay? and I'm sorry to play this on the keyboard. I feel wrong about that, but we'll see. Why? Thank you. Thank you. Why? I mean, that stirs a lot of us. Why does that move our hearts? Or pick a piece of music that kind of speaks to you. How could you describe that in words? What that does? And using mere words that comes anywhere close to the actual music. So music is a gift from God. I would argue that it allows us to do several things that we couldn't do nearly as well without it. First of all, music lets us express words in a way that I think goes beyond the words themselves. Forget about songs in church for a second. Take this song that everybody here knows. You ready? Let me just read the lyrics to you because it's kind of deep. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Spoken, that's rather dull, right? In fact, I would argue that you couldn't actually say this to someone in its entirety on their birthday without it sounding like you're kind of a sarcastic jerk, right? It's impossible to do all that. But you set it to the famous tune, and something happens. And even people who aren't musical, what do they do at this point? People harmonize at the end, right? A lot of times. See? We know that God created words and language, and that words by themselves can be powerful. But take those same words and put them to a rhythm, a meter, a key, and sing them or listen to them sung, and they become a thing of beauty. For the first 1,500 years or so of church history, the church only sang the Psalms and in Latin. So the church was pretty good on the Psalms part of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, but they forgot about the rest. Well, one of the byproducts of the Reformation in the 1500s and 1600s is there was a renewed emphasis on congregational singing. That you have hymn writers like Martin Luther, and it led to a whole bunch of them, who tried to look at the Bible and to put it into words that everybody could understand in the language of the people. And so people started writing hymns, basically theology set to music. Martin Luther, in one of his most famous hymns, he writes this, "A mighty fortress is our God." And he's basing this off of the Psalms, by the way. "A bulwark never failing. Our helper, he, amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing." Well, that's pretty powerful. Those are meaningful words. They have some weight to them. Well, the pipe organ came along at just the right time and really kind of added a whole different dimension to this. That adds something to that, right? So there's words, and then there's our ability to express words at a deeper level using music. And one more example of that. I could say the words to you, "He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords." That's a pretty powerful declaration. But notice what happens when that gets set to music. Powerful, isn't it? And there's part of you just like, yeah. Music helps us express the inexpressible. It enables us to go places that we actually can't go to with words alone. Music is also deeply tied to our emotions. It enables us to express emotion. How many of you have certain music that you listen to depending on your mood? Anybody? You have certain songs, if you're having a good day, if you're having a bad day, you bring out the sad music, right? Yeah, I think that's what most of us do. I'm so susceptible to music sort of influencing my emotions that if somebody else is playing music and it's not the mood that I'm in, but I hear it, I'm like, eh. I drift toward whatever that is. It pulls me. It's a powerful way to express our emotions, to remind us that we're not alone. Here's just one example, again, out of a universe of examples of... Yeah, I mean, I don't even know what that's about, but it moves me, right? It's one of the reasons God gave us music, to help us express our emotions. James 5 says, is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. We get the songs of praise part when we're happy. I would argue that this first part, is anyone in trouble? Let them pray, that's also... possibly a reference to music. Because what is one of the ways that they prayed? What did they use? The Psalms. Psalms are the songbook, also the prayer book for ancient Israel and the early Christians. And Psalms, these are songs that express the full range of emotion. It's not just happy. I mean, you read through the Psalms and there's some sadness, there's despair, there's trouble, there's anguish. These are called Psalms of Lament. We don't have the music, but I'm sure if we did, it'd be a lot of songs in the key of D minor, the saddest of all keys, right? That's a movie reference that only a few of us know. St. Augustine once said, the one who sings prays twice. God gave us this gift to help us express emotion. And did you know that we have some pretty good songs in the church that help capture a range of emotion? I know we tend toward the happy and things are great, but there are other songs. Look at the line from this hymn. When peace like a river attendeth my way. That's one state of emotional being, when things are well, when I'm feeling peace. The opposite end, when sorrows like sea billows roll, when I'm being hit with wave after wave of trouble, of sadness. Whatever my lot, whatever happens, wherever I am, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Would you just sing this with me? We can sing together. I need your help. I'm not a singer. So here we go. You can just say those words, but I think something happens when we sing them in our soul, in our being. Music helps us express words. It helps us express emotions. And one more thing I want to share, it helps us express identity, solidarity. If you watch the Olympics, when they have the awards ceremony, and what do they do with the athletes who have medal? They put them up there, and what do they play? They play the national anthem of the people who are meddling, who have won medals, right? And watch what happens in an arena. It can be a country you've barely heard of with a national anthem you've never heard. But in that arena with tens of thousands of people, you watch the people for whom that song and those words speak of home. There's a level of unanimity automatically, right? They're playing our song. The world's hearing it. It brings people together. Or how about this example? How a song can bring 1,500 complete strangers together and for this shared experience. And for a moment, they're like one. I mean, the beat, the pulse of the music, like if you were to try to say those words out loud, it's a lot harder. The pulse of the music enables people not just to sing together, but it actually causes you to breathe in rhythm with one another. It creates an identity, a shared bond. How much more then is this true for us as a church, the body of Christ? Paul reminds us, as members of one body, let the message of Christ dwell among you, dwell among us, richly, he says, as we sing psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. See, we come here with different backgrounds, different perspectives, all kinds of ways that we in our normal lives say, I. But when we sing together, it's we, it's us, it's solidarity, the faith that binds us together. I want to sing a couple of hymns that embody this. The first one is the doxology. And just think about how this pulls all this together. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. You can say that or you can sing it, right? So that's expressing words. How many of you know that every good thing that you have, every blessing that you have comes from God? See, when you really understand that, what's the natural response? It's thank you. It's gratitude. So this is also expressing emotion. And then praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Like, we're joining in the song of not just other believers around the world, but like of also heaven. So that's some solidarity, right? It all comes together. And so I want to sing this. By the way, this is the most sung verse by Christians in the world. And then traditionally, this is also sung before or after around offering. And so we're also going to give our offering this morning. So I invite the ushers to come forward while we sing this. And then we'll go into another song that I'm pretty sure you will know. So would you sing this with me? grace. Of Ecclesiastes says he has also set eternity in the human heart. See, that's what we just felt. Did you feel it? That music is a language that God has given us to, it's an overflow, it's an expression of this reality. Speaking of, by the way, the eternal and the infinite, this blows my mind. Did you know that all music comes from 12 notes? In our Western, our chromatic scale. Every song you have ever heard. Actually, it's usually just 7. No. That's it. Every song that will ever be written, and I know about, calm down, I know about Arabic music and Indian music with microtones and quarter tones, but my point is that in a very limited number of notes, a scale most commonly of 12, there is infinite possibility to put eternity in our hearts. Music can be incredibly simple. It can also be astoundingly complex. Most strangely, it can be simple and complex at the same time. And then you get into the relationship between music and math. Have you thought about this? Like, there's all kinds of numbers, just like with math, like theoretical infinity. It's the same with music and the possibilities, and you have intervals and pitches and tones and scales and all these relationships. It's like there's a universe happening underneath what we're hearing. It's like there is an interior, intrinsic logic, just like there is with creation that we observe around us. You go back to the Hallelujah, the song, the Cohen song sung by Wainwright. He actually even says kind of what he's doing. Listen to this. He says it goes like this. The fourth, the fifth, then what? The minor fall, then the major lift. He tells you what he's doing. Does that explain the mystery? Baffled king. I don't know why it works, but it does. See, it transcends our explanation. I think music reveals the mind of its creator. One more thing I want to share. You know, the more that I've played this, the more that I've developed this theory, and I might be wrong, the guy's not alive, I can't ask him about it, I have no way of proving this, but in playing, you kind of get on the inside, you kind of see the mind of, there's an inner logic to what a composer writes, just like if you code program, like you can look at an app or a program and see it differently, there's like a few of you here, if you understand football and you see what's happening at the line and you can read that and plays and stuff, you experience the game differently, and it's the same thing with this. I actually think the climax, the crescendo, the aha moment of Clair de Lune, it all comes down to one note, a B. It's actually in the key it's in. It's a C minor, but that doesn't help us. A B, okay? C flat. Could you just hum this with me? Not that beautiful, right? Not that particularly moving, at least not by itself. I'm convinced in some ways he writes the whole piece to land on this one note and to cause us to see it or to hear it differently. And then just when you're kind of shaking your head like, wow, that's amazing. What a master. For the encore, do you know what he does? He takes the major seventh and the eighth together. Here's what that sounds like. How lovely is that? Not that nice. That's his encore. So this is like a card trick, but it's a musical version. So I need you to remember your cards, okay? Here's card one, the B. That's what he brings the whole thing down to. And then the encore. The major seventh and the eighth together. Everybody got it? What is Matt doing right now, huh? So he begins with this. And he goes on and it kind of builds, and then there's the second movement. And then it goes on, and then there's a key change. He does some other fancy stuff. I'm paraphrasing. And then he kind of comes to this part near the end of the second movement. And then he brings us back home. Here's what we expect him to do. We've heard that, right? He goes, no, I want to sum up everything and I want to put an exclamation point on it. I want to exceed what I've done so far. Here's what he does. Remember your B. That hurts me. That's so beautiful, right? Here's the weird combination. Last one more time. He pulls it all together. He summarizes and then surpasses what he's done. I like how Thomas Carlyle says, "The meaning of song goes deep. Who is there that in logical words can express the effect music has on us? A kind of inarticulate, unfathomable speech which leads us to the edge of the infinite and lets us for moments gaze into that." Points to the divine, doesn't it? Because he's put eternity in our hearts. It reveals some of who God is, his complexity, his awesomeness, his mystery. Something you might have missed when we first looked at Ephesians 5. Notice this connection. He says, be filled with the Spirit. And as a result of being filled with the Spirit, you're going to sing psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Look how closely music is connected to the Spirit of God. A direct overflow of the Spirit within us. I love how the lines get blurred. He says, sing and make music from your heart to God. So that sounds like it's from us to God. But then we're to sing to one another. Wait, who's singing to who? Right? And where do these songs come from? I think they come from your heart, except for they also come from an overflow of the Spirit. You see how it all comes together. It's like all the categories, all the lines dissolve, as you would expect when heaven and earth sort of meet. as I think they do in many ways in music. I believe it's evidence that we are created by God for something more than the world that we see around us. It's evidence that we are made for eternity. Do you know that ache that you feel in your heart when you hear a beautiful piece of music and you want to like enter into it? Let me say it a different way. That song that you play 1,000 times on repeat, but you still can't quite possess it. Almost, but not quite. That ache reminds us that God has put eternity in our hearts, that our hunger for him ultimately is the only one that he can satisfy. And so yes, music is a gift. As the Psalms say again and again, we should sing, we should respond to him in praise, in worship, in thanksgiving, and gratitude. It lets us express the inexpressible. It's amazing. The psalmist goes on, he's talking about people, and then the psalmist makes a jump. Not just people, he goes, how about we rally all of creation and get all of creation in on this? Verse 11, let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the sea resound and all that is in it, let the fields be jubilant and everything in them, let all the trees of the forest sing for joy. What this means, wherever you are, whatever your thoughts are on God, whatever doubts or questions you may have, music is a gift that if we let it, can lead us to God. Like there's a song playing. Can you hear it? It's all around us. It's in the trees, in the heavens, in the fields. It's pointing to God. He actually doesn't need our songs. We're invited. But like the rocks are going to cry out regardless. And he's present. As that famous line from This Is My Father's World, in the rustling grass, I hear him pass. He speaks to me everywhere. He's closer than we can imagine. And by the way, I'm not just talking about the songs of the church. He's put eternity in our hearts. That means that he is with you in that ache when you hear a beautiful piece of music or song and you think to yourself, man, is there more to this world than what I see? Maybe there is. He's with you in that song that you play on repeat. It's like your anthem, right? Because it just captures what you're going through and what you're feeling right now. He's with you in perfect stillness, in the rhythm of your heartbeat, persistently reminding you that he is pursuing you, that he loves you, that you belong to him, that he's got you, and that you have no reason to fear. I want to invite our friends to come on back up. Now, I could say that, or you could hear that from him. Remember, as they sing, that the Spirit of God is present when we sing songs to one another.
Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid.
You are mine. at your side. When you dwell in the exile of a stranger, remember you are precious in my eyes. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. You are mine. You
one last story. Karl Barth is a real famous Swiss theologian, lived in the 20th century, probably one of the greatest theologians like in the last 1,000 years since Thomas Aquinas, according to a lot of people. And he wrote a little series of books called Dogmatics, which was a 13-volume, 6-million-word treatise. That's 5 million words more than the entire Harry Potter set, right? Anthology, whatever. And he covers every subject from God, Bible, Jesus, church, Holy Spirit, and you name it. It took him 30 years to write this. And there's a famous story where he was lecturing at some Ivy League school in the 60s, and after the lecture, someone raised their hand and asked him, Dr. Barth, could you summarize what you've said in your 13-volume, 6-million-word, 30 years to write Dogmatics, right? That's kind of annoying question, right? But he thought for a minute, and he said, yeah, I can summarize everything that I've learned. And then he said, Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. The music doesn't have to be complicated or fancy. It can be simple enough for a child to understand it and to sing. So let's just, could we sing that kind of last thing together? Jesus loves me. Here we go. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Music can also be a prayer. And so let's let this final song be our closing prayer this morning. Thank you so much, Taylor Sounds, for being here. What an honor and a privilege it is for us to be able to experience this from you as part of our worship together. Come back next week. We're going to wrap this up by doing some different things, and you don't want to miss that. I really don't want to diminish what just happened, right? So go in peace. We'll see you next time.